Okay, today's daf is Nun Tet. We're going to just review the very end of Nun Chet Amud Bet, which connects. We have the story of Rish Lakish went to the city of Batra, and he saw a few things. He saw Jews were eating peirot without doing masrot, and he said, you can't do that. He saw people were using water that was worshipped, that non-Jews had worshipped to their idols, and they drank it. And then he said, oh, you can't do that. And then the story comes before Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, or Rish Lakish came before Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, before you even take off your jacket, I have to tell you that you made a mistake about a few things, and go tell everybody that you were wrong. And because number one, Betzer is not Batzra, and it's not considered, right? Betzer is in Israel, Batzra is not. There's no chiyuv of Truma Masrot. And the second thing is, Maim Shel Rabim Ein Ne'esarim, right? Public water that non-Jews worship is not considered forbidden. And then they say Rabbi Yochanan Letame. Rabbi Yochanan, who said this, goes Lishitato, because he says elsewhere, Damar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shum Ben Yotzadak, Mayim Shel Rabim Ein Ne'esarim. Okay, that's the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Now the Gemara is going to question this. Hadi Yachid Ne'esarim. Based on this, you're going to say that Mayim of Yachid is forbidden, that it's only Mayim of Rabim, but Mayim that belongs to an individual is going to be forbidden. V'tepukle Daham Chubarin Ninhu. Why wouldn't you say that water that belongs to an individual, let's say you own a pond, so that water is mechubar. And if it's mechubar, it's like the mountains, and we said all that stuff is not forbidden bahana. So they say, lo tzricha de talshinu gala. No, what he was talking about is a case, and the point is, if the water was permitted because it belonged to the rabim, that's not a good answer. It should be permitted just because it's water. A body of water should always be permitted because it's mechubar, and therefore there's no isor hana'a. So they say, it must be that a wave lifted it up, and therefore it was separated from the other water, and that's the water that the people have worshipped that he said is only permitted because it belonged to the rabim. And again, what's the issue with rabim? You can't cause something to be a avodah zara that's not your own. Again, we said Yayin Esav is a bit of an exception. We'll get to that. So then they say, but sof, avnehar, so according to this, what is it? It's just like, we saw this sugya before, about if a wave lifts up the water and separates it from the other water, it's the same as avnei har sheni daldilu ninhu. If you remember, we had this whole issue with rocks falling from a mountain, and what did we say? There's a machloket about it. We didn't know who said what. One was Rabbi Yochanan, one was, I think, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, maybe, if I'm not right. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, I think it was him. Anyway, no, it was B'nai Rabbi Chiya. I'm confused because Rabbi Chiya bar Abba appears in a minute. It was the sons of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan had a disagreement about how to treat these rocks that are falling, and we didn't know who said what. So he says, according to this, are you going to say that it's Rabbi Yochanan who holds that Avnei Har are forbidden, just like this wave? Basically saying, well, then why was there a whole question? It's obvious that he holds this based on this. So then they say, no, so it must be Lo Tzricha De Tavchinu B'yade. It's where he himself separated the water, took it out from the body of water, worshipped it, meaning the idol worshiper, took it out, worshipped it, and therefore, once you do a maaseh b'yadayim, that's not the same as rocks falling from a mountain. Rocks falling from a mountain is a natural occurrence. So is a wave coming. So they say it must be the case was where people had taken the water out, separated it, and because of that, it was forbidden. Okay, and that's why he forbids this. There was something I remember that I wanted to mention. Okay, I guess we'll get to it when we get to the next thing. Okay, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Ikla leGavla. He got to the city of Gavla. There's a bit of a debate where exactly the city is. The main thing is it's not a city of B'nai Torah. So just to review before we do this, Rabbi Yochanan in the previous story, because now we're going to see he has an opposite reaction. Rabbi Yochanan in the previous story saw Rish Lakish was forbidding all these things and said, what are you doing? All these things are actually allowed and go tell the people. Here we're going to see the reverse. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba got to the city of Gavla. Chaza, he saw B'nai Yisrael, de'me'abra me'avdei kochavim shemalu v'lo tavlu. Jewish women were getting pregnant from idol worshippers who had done a brit milah, or non-Jews, you could say, because I don't know if they were idol worshippers anymore. They did a brit milah, but they hadn't done tefillah. I started to think about this issue, why we keep having these cases of malu v'lo tavlu. So it seems, from what I was reading up about it, it seems that people thought that by just circumcising yourself, you could convert. And they didn't do the second process. Now, there's definitely a possibility anyway that what's going on here is people who think that they're Jewish. They just didn't finish the conversion process as far as we're concerned. They thought it's okay not to do the tefillah, or maybe they didn't know they needed to do tefillah, and therefore they had only done the circumcision part, and that didn't make them Jews. So maybe there was this false assumption that they were Jews.
And yet they're called Ovdei Kochavim.
Right, that's why it's interesting that they call them Ovdei Kochavim. That's why I was stumbling with the translation, because they're not exactly idol worshippers. But, okay, so Maluva Lo Tavlu. Chaza, I think Ovdei Kochavim is, again, usually just a general, and that's always the debate. Is it just a general term, or is it specifically people who worship idols? So, Chaza Chamra Demazgu Ovdei Kochavim. Okay, so number one, there were Bnei Israel that were getting pregnant from these Ovdei Kochavim that had done partial conversions. Chaza, the second thing he saw was Chamra Demazgu Ovdei Kochavim. This is not those same Ovdei Kochavim necessarily. He saw there was wine that Ovdei Kochavim were pouring, Vishatu Yisrael. Number two, he saw Ovdei Kochavim, I'm sorry, not pouring, they were diluting. Right? They were creating the mixture of the wine, and the Jews were drinking it. Now, what did we see yesterday? Right, that we were gozer on this case. Okay, I wanted to just point out a few things that I neglected to mention yesterday that I wanted to mention but forgot. One thing is that when they poured the wine, there's an assumption among some of the Rishonim that when they diluted it, they dafka did not touch it because of cleanliness reasons. It's like we've seen in other cases with milk and other, right? There's certain, you know, they specifically wouldn't touch it. Like it was clear they didn't touch it. And the chashash is just like we saw, right, go about the nazir, stay far away from the karam. That's one thing. And the other thing I wanted to point out, there was another good note here. The question is, why is it not considered kocho here? We saw the kocho, like if he put something, right, this was the case that was called kocho, but it's not the same as nagabo al yedei davar acher. Remember, when he put the lulav in there, then it was forbidden. This is only a gzera, right? It's not really forbidden. So why is there a difference? So they say, because he, like the lulav, he's actually holding it, and he's actually touching it with something he's holding. But here, right, he's not actually touching the wine in any way. Okay, and then maybe there's a distinction between those two. Okay, I just wanted to point that out. Okay, so anyway, people were having non-Jewish people dilute their wine and were drinking it. And the third thing is Chaza Tormasa, he saw these lupines, Deshalke Luhovde Kochavim, the non-Jews were cooking them, V'achle Yisrael, and they weren't Choshesh for Bishul Akum. And he didn't say anything. Okay? In other words, he let all these things go. So, he comes before Rabbi Yochanan. And what does Rabbi Yochanan say? Instead of, right, the reverse, right, Rabbi Yochanan, you could say the similarity is he was against what these other rabbis were doing. Right? But here, he's going lehachmi. There, he was going lekula. Obviously, you can't compare. There are different cases, right? And it's obvious. In those cases, he thought it was really asur. And here, he really thought it was mutar. So, now we're going to see why. So he says, "Say v'hachreiz al b'nehem shehem mamzerim. Go tell them that their sons are mamzerim." Okay, which is quite strict. We're going to talk about this in a minute. Okay, hold off because we haven't seen the Gemara's reason yet. Va'al yenam mishum yenesech, and on their wines because of yenesech. Va'al tormasam mishum bishulei akum, and their lupines because of bishul akum. Mishum she'inam b'nei Torah, because they're not b'nei Torah. So now we have to explain. Al b'neim shehem mamzirim, Rabbi Yochanan l'tame. So Rabbi Yochanan goes l'shitato. Tam Rabbi Yochanan l'olam eino ger ad shimo v'yitbol. Okay, so number one, you're not a ger until you do brit milah and tefillah. Okay, that is basically agreed upon. B'kevan delo tavil ovei kochavimu. And since he didn't do tefillah, so he's really considered an ovei kochavim. V'am Rabba Barachanan, Rabbi Yochanan. And here's a big statement, which we saw in Yevamot. There's actually a debate about whether Rabbi Rachana said it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, but it's not clear that Rabbi Yochanan definitely said it, or it's clear he said it. Oveid kochavim ve'eved haba alba Yisrael havlab mamzir. He has this extreme position on the case, which we don't paskin like. It's not the case. Okay, halacha lemaaseh, a child born from an intermarriage is not a mamzir. But the machloket is based on the fact We say Ein Kiddushin Tofsim. That means it's not a good marriage. If you marry someone who's not Jewish, it's not considered a marriage halachically. But some people say, even though Ein Kiddushin Tofsim, and that's Rabbi Yochanan, the Vlad is still going to be a Mamzer. And that because you're married with this marriage, the Ein Kiddushin Tofsim is going to make the Vlad a Mamzer. Okay, there's a debate about why, in which case the Vlad is a Mamzer or not. And the other side holds, no, the Vlad is only a Mamzer in a case where Kiddushin or Tofsim, and you're doing something
because
be Isur.
Because he's already somewhat Jewish, and you're probably married or something like that. She would have to be married and he would have to be Jewish.
Right, she would have to be married. That would be the issue. If she's right, even if she's married and she sleeps with a non-Jew, I think this child's also not a Mamzer. I forget, but this is
not. But if he's partially
right.
Jewish, then he would be.
Right, if he's Jewish, right. Not partially Jewish. If he's Jewish, if he's only Jewish and sleeps with an Esh Adish, then it's a Mamzer.
Only product of an incestuous relationship.
Right,
it's a Mamzer.
Right, it could
child
be
idolater is not a Mamzer.
Right, it could be a riot case. She doesn't have to be a married woman. It could be someone with his sister or something like that. Okay, so that's the. There were all sorts of, if you remember, all sorts of opinions from Chayve Lavim or Chayve like Krito, Meto Beitin. We had a whole thing there. Anyway, we won't review all that right now. Okay, so that's number one. He held this extreme position, and therefore he says, go and tell them they're Mamzerim, which now you understand why he didn't say they were Mamzerim, because not everybody agrees with it, you know, the first rabbi. The Gazaral Yena Mishum Yenesech. Mishum lech lech amrin lezira schor chor lekarma lo tikrav. Okay, in other words, again, this issue, they shouldn't dilute your wine, even though they're not actually touching, and even though it's not really forbidden, still, we should keep away from this. Val tromusam mishum bishulei akum. Lefi she'enam b'nei Torah. Okay, so now this issue at the end about the enam b'nei Torah, which we didn't really explain, so he says the bishul akum issue is an issue because they're not b'nei Torah. So now it sounds like Tama de'enam b'nei Torah. The reason he forbade these tormusim that was bishul akum is only because they weren't b'nei Torah. But ha b'nei Torah shari. But if they were b'nei Torah, it would be mutar. Okay, we're about 8 lines from the bottom. V'ha amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak amar Rav kol shenechal kemot shu chai ein bo mishum bishul akum. So now they say, but it says that anything that can be eaten raw doesn't have bishul akum, but tormus and lupines you can't eat, right? You probably don't, I don't know what lupines are, but maybe someone here does. But apparently they can't be eaten raw, so therefore it should be bishul akum even to people who are b'nei Torah. So why did he say that? So now, if you remember, there were two reasons, right? Two exceptions to the rule. One was they can be eaten raw and then there's no bishul akum. That's not the one here. But they say, Rabbi Yochanan, ki hach lishnis tefirah. He held like this lashon. Ta'amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak amar Rav, kol sheino ole al shulchan melachim lelafek bo tapat, ein bo mishum bishulei avdei kochavim. Okay, and therefore, tama de'enam b'nei Torah, ha b'nei Torah shari. We're now learning something else about lupines. Like this is a good example of where, based on what the Gemara says, we can infer something about it. Number one, it can't be raw. Number two, nobody would put it on the table of a king. It wasn't a respectful food. So therefore, because of that, it would actually be mutar. However, he forbade it for these people because they were not b'nei Torah, and he wanted to keep them farther away from the non-Jews because he was worried about intermarriage, which makes sense because they were intermarrying, okay? It wasn't just his concern, but the first case was that they were definitely intermarrying. Again, whether they knew it was intermarriage or not is a good question because maybe they thought, since they had converted partially, that maybe they thought they were Jewish. It's not clear there was full intermarriage, but anyway. So all of these, he's basically going, one, he thinks is a halachic position, the first one. It's just he has a machmir halachic opinion about it. The other two are more gzerot, right? Keep away. They're not b'nei Torah, so don't eat their bishul akum. They diluted the wine, even though really it's okay, but, you know, lechei chamrina l'nazira, svor chol karmel lo tikrav. But that is, however, not just his position, but that we saw a number of people who all said that the non-Jew can't dilute the wine for that reason. Ba'amine Merav Kahana, another question. Ovei kochavim ma'u she'olich anavim lagat. Is the ovei kochavim allowed to take your grapes and take them to the wine press? Now, this seems weird. Didn't we say, right, at that early stages, there's no problem? So what's the concern? Amar lehu asur mishum lech lech amri nazira schor chor lekarmelo tikrav. What's the reason? When they put them in the baskets and they carry them to the wine press, already juices start coming out. And therefore, the wine, right, it's already like there's some wine there, and we'd rather they keep away from that.
I suspect them to Tuma at that point.
So they don't talk about the tumah issue here. I was wondering why they didn't talk about the tumah issue, because when I first started reading it, I thought maybe they were getting into the tumah issue, but they for some reason aren't worried about that. I'm not sure why. Maybe it wasn't necessarily in Eretz Yisrael. That's why, because it wasn't in Eretz Yisrael. It was in Babel. That was only Perot of Eretz Yisrael. That was the Mishnah. This is already the Amoraim living in Babel, and maybe, you know, I assume that's why they're not discussing this. Okay, Etive Rav Yemer l'Rav Kahana. Ovei Kochavim shevi anavim lagat besalim or bedor jorim. Okay, if the Ovei Kochavim is bringing the anavim to the gat, to the wine press, the grapes to the wine press, in baskets or small barrels, af al pi shayayim is alef alehen mutar. So he says, even though the wine is coming out of them, it's allowed. So now this contradicts what he said a minute ago, right? In other words, here comes Rav Yemer says to Rav Kahana, why did you say it's usher? According to this braita, it seems that there's no problem at all. That's actually a Tosefta. According to the Tosefta, there's no problem. Okay? So now he says, Amar Leh, hevi kamarta, ana lechatchila kamina. If you look carefully at the braita, what does he say? Ovei kochavim shehevi anavim lagat. If he brought your grapes to the gat, and the wine start coming out, it's not a problem. That means b'dieved. If already it happened, then it's okay. But people, the question they asked me was, are you allowed l'chatchila to have an ovei kochavim carry your stuff to the god? He said, that I'm not allowing. But b'dieved, if it happened, then we say it's okay. Because again, it's really just a gzera, so again, we're going to be gozer, but we're not going to make it forbidden. Hahu etroga denafil lechavita. This is going to be a little similar to the lulav, right? In this case, right, then what's the difference? It's interesting they use an etrog and a lulav. I don't know why. Maybe, you know, it could be. I'm just throwing out some random idea. But right, it was the harvest season, and maybe it was common, you know, I don't know, that somehow, that right, it makes sense after the harvest season. Mm-hmm. Actually, I was going to say something else, but that's much better.
You know, this goes back to Naomi's point that they really should have kept the barrels covered.
Yes. Yes, that would have definitely, yes. So, ahu etroga denafel lechavita dechamra. So, an etrog falls in. Now, this is different from him holding, right, in this case, the etrog didn't fall from his hands. The etrog fell, or the lulav was, he was holding it while it, fell, I think, or maybe not even.
He was coming down from a tree.
Right, he was coming down from a tree, but right, was it in his hands? I'm not sure. Maybe it wasn't
in his hand.
It was in his hand. In this case, it's not in his hand. Okay, the etrog falls. Idre ove kochavim v'shakle. So he immediately puts his hand in. Okay, Rashi says idre kafatz v'chazav b'toch hayayin. Why? Quickly, because he didn't want it to sink to the bottom, and it would be hard to get it out of the barrel. How deep the barrels were. So what does he do? He jumps quickly and he goes to grab it. Now the assumption is at that point he's working so fast that he's certainly not thinking about l'nasech hatayayin. But as soon as he starts, he grabs the etrog and he starts lifting his hand up. There's going to be a concern that maybe he'll mix the waters and offer it up to his god. So what happened? Amar lehu Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said to them. Luckily, he was there on the scene. Naktu aliyade, hold his hand in place. Kiyecha delo l'shachshech, bay. Uvartzua ad deshaifa, and tilt the barrel over and pour it out into something else. Right? He didn't even want him to lift his hand up out of the barrel. So he says, hold it in place. I don't know how this non-Jew felt about this whole thing going on, but and tilt it so that all the wine comes out. Okay, and then we don't have to worry about it. Okay. Okay. Amar of Ashi, hay ovei kochavim denaschei lechamar di Yisrael b'chavana. Okay, now we're getting another case. Rav Ashi says, an idol worshiper who worships, right, who basically takes the Jew's wine and on purpose, okay, as opposed to all these cases we've been talking about where it was accidental, or he didn't mean it, or we don't even know what he meant, right? He wasn't necessarily trying, no, it wasn't accidental. He wasn't necessarily, we don't know, was he menasech. In this case, if he was menasech b'chavana, now, so what do we know about this? It's aser b'hana'ah, right? So that means you're stuck. This wine, you can't do anything with it. You can't sell it, right? But now we're going to learn something interesting about it. Even though you can't sell this to some other non-idol, some other non-Jew, basically. You can get the money from that. The one who did it, you could get money from him. If he did it b'chavana, why? My taima, mikla kalye. He ruined your wine. So now you can demand damages. Okay?
He doesn't think he damaged it.
But you damaged it because you now made a forbidden bahana'ah. It's true, in a non-Jewish court, you'd have trouble doing this, but, you know, proving this. But he can say, pay me for the wine. He can give him the wine. And, you know, he can, I think what they're saying is you can make this sort of sale that it can be understood as damage payments. So you can give him the wine. He can pay you the money for the wine because he's basically paying you damages. So what they're really saying is you could sell it to him. And it's masked, and halachically, it's viewed as damages. I'm Rav Ashi Minami Nala. Where do I get this from? Titania, Ove Kochavim Shanasach Yenoshal Yisrael, Shalob Bifne Ove Kochavim Asur. Okay, here's a braita that says, an Ove Kochavim that basically does, you know, turns your wine into, he offers it up to his idols, Shalob Bifne Ove Kochavim Asur. Okay, if he does this in front of, not in front of an idol, it's forbidden. Okay, Rashi says, even Bahana'ah. I'm just going to mention, I didn't get into all the details, but there's big debates among the Rishonim and all. Every time it says Asur, is it Asur B'shtiha? Is it Asur Bahana'ah? There's lots of debates about all these things, about how far we're forbidding these things. It's not clear. It's a very murky water here in these sugyos. Okay, if we were learning at B'iyum, and we get into all the details, who says what and based on what? But I just want to point it out here, said that in a lot of these sugyos, where it doesn't say in the Gemara whether they're talking about shtia or hana'ah, there's lots of debates about how far we're forbidding these things. Just for drinking, also for hana'ah. So according to this, Rashi says, asur even bahana'ah. Even though, right, it's your wine. And even though it's not in front of Dekoch, right? The assumption is that when you're offering something up to your God, it has to be that your God is there, right? Your idol is there. In this case, even if the idol's not there and he does it, right? We never think that the idol has to be there. But according, right, so this is what he's saying.
It hasn't been in all of the other examples.
Right, it hasn't been brought up. So the Tanakhama says it's Asur. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera Mitirim, Ve dafka matir, okay? Mishum shnei dvarim. Echad she'em menaschim yayin ela b'fnei avodah kochavim. Number one, there's no such thing as pouring out a libation for your, you know, doing some sort of libation for your gods without the God being there. So they claim it's mutar. Okay, we don't hold this way, but they claim it's mutar. Ve'echad she'omer lo, lo kol, okay, so the second reason why it's mutar is because you can say to him, lo kol emenach she'tasur yeni lo unsi. And that's, how can you possibly forbid my wine against my will? In other words, this is my wine. This is what we talked about before, that he can forbid even your wine. Now here he's disagreeing, right? They say there's no way that he's able to forbid your wine to you. Okay, so what do you see here? That if we were to say, right, let's say, they would agree that in the case where the allele was there, right, or in other words, that in theory, the idea of Yei Nesach would be that he would basically forbid you your wine and cause you damages. Okay, so therefore, we can view this whole thing as damages. So we actually don't paskin like them. We paskin like Tanakhama. And even though, in other words, the whole question, this is where we finally get to what we were talking about, how can someone forbid something that's not their own? Like with the water. Right? We saw with the water that if, right, in other words, there we said he can't forbid the water that belongs to the Rabbim. So how can he forbid this? So they say that they make one of the answers given is there's a distinction made between something that you worship that's not your own, but how do you worship it? You bow down to it. Whatever you do, you're not actually touching the item itself. So if I go over to your item and I bow down to it, so I can't make that item forbidden because I didn't touch your item. In this case, he touches your item. He does a ma'aseh b'yadayim. And therefore, he is able, through touching it, to actually forbid it, okay? And that's what they basically say. That's the difference here that gives him the power to be able to do this, okay? So, next case. Hai chavita de chamra di ishtiku lebarza. Okay, there's a chavit of wine, okay, that the berez, right, the spout, they would put a spout in, you think of like a big keg of something, right, and they put a hole at the bottom and they make a spout and everyone can take it out from the spout. Okay, now remember, this might be at the bottom, it's not always at the very bottom. Okay, it might be you can make a spout near the top somehow. We're going to talk about different types of spouts and where they are. So the spout came out, okay, so now there's just a hole. Atov dech kochavim, idre kafatz, again this immediately, right? Va'anach yade ilave. Okay, he puts his hand by where the wine is coming out. Okay, he basically, what does he want to do? He wants to stop the wine from coming out. So he puts his hand right there to block the wine coming out. So now, it's very nice he saved the wine, but now he touched it, so we're in trouble. So there's two versions of what Rav Papa says. I'm Rav Papa. Kol delahaze barze, kol delahade barza, chamra asir. Anything that's near the berez, there's anything near the spout, like coming out almost of it, right where the spout was, or where the hole is really, that wine is going to be forbidden. V'idach, but the rest of it is shari, because he doesn't view this all as one unit. Okay, he says there's the wine, which is very difficult because, right, we all know that wine mixes up, and we actually had this in the case of truma that falls into wine. It's different from truma that falls into a pile. If it's a pile of stuff, you can separate. The wine, it just gets all mixed up. But he views this as separately. And again, you can see v'idach share. Again, there, it doesn't say what it's mutar, mutar bahana, mutar b'shtia. So Rashi says here, af b'shtia. Okay? And as he says, he really views this ad asof. It's even mutar to drink because he doesn't view this at all. Rashi says, dekasaver, stadin lav chibur. Okay? This isn't things that are next to each other are not integrally connected. Okay? He points out, leitol chataka vate, we don't pask in this way. But anyway, that's what Rav Papa says here. V'ika da'amre, and some people say, Amar Rav Papa, ad habar zachamra asir, v'idach shari. He says, imagine that the berez is near the bottom, but not at the very bottom. So there's wine that's underneath. So the wine that's underneath is not coming out of that hole. So that stuff is not connected. The wine that's above that is connected. Now go figure how to deal with that. I'm not exactly sure what his, you know, how you can kind of start separating that wine. But actually, I guess the truth is you could. Easy. That's easy, because you could let all the wine out through the berez. All that will be forbidden and whatever's left, right? That's true. That's actually not so complicated. Amar Rav Yemar. Rav Yemar says, Kitanai. What Rav Papa said, some people read this in either reading, is only one side of a Tana Itik Machloket. Okay? What's the Machloket Tanaim? Chavit Shenikva. Okay, now we're talking about someone who's Tamei. Okay, it's a Mishnah in Tvul Yom. Okay, what's a Tvul Yom? A Tvul Yom is someone who goes to the mikvah. He's Tamei for the day, right? He's goes to the mikvah in the morning, but he's not Tahor until sunset, right? Or until Tzedek Kochavim. So he basically has to wait till the end of the day to become Tahor.
That's sort of like so, converting by Mila.
Right, exactly. You could say that. By the way, the converting with Mila and the Tvila, another explanation could be that they just hadn't yet done the Tvila because the Mila always comes first. You can't do the tefillah until you do the milah, and you have to wait a few days for the milah to, you know, for not to get infected. But it's unlikely in this case of all these women who were impregnated by men that dafka on, you know, those few days, right? It seems unlikely
that was
the situation. So I could just raise it. It's a possibility, but I don't think, right, given that they were healing also, yeah. Right? Good point. So, you know, could be they were, you know, they just hadn't gotten to it, but I think more likely they thought that this was conversion. Okay, so what's the machloket tanaim? So chavit shenikva bein mipia bein mishuleha, whether at the top, whether at the bottom, or bein mitzideha, or even at the sides, v'negabo tful yom tmea. If a tful yom touches this barrel, then you know where the if he touches it, right, habi chibur, right. I guess he touches where the hole is. Okay, so wherever he touches it, everything is tmea. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mipia umishuleha tmea. Okay, if the neck of it is at the top or at the bottom, then it's tmea. Because then it's all viewed as a flow. Either it's all coming out from the top or it's all coming out from the bottom. But mitzideha tehora, mikan umikan. But if it's on the sides, then it's going to be tahor. Right? The wine that's on either side of the hole, meaning what are the sides here? Above and below. In other words, he's going to view just what's next to the hole as problematic. Okay, so what do you see here? The Rabbi Yehuda, right? That Rav Papa holds like Rabbi Yehuda, but not like the other opinion. Okay, so therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's not viewed as if he touched the whole thing. And that's, again, both versions of Rav Papa, because either it was just, right, what's below he doesn't view as connected. Either which way Rav Papa sees it, he doesn't see all this wine is connected. And therefore, only the wine that's connected is going to be a problem according to him. So therefore, his opinion holds like Rav Yehuda, but Tanna Kamma disagrees, and that's why if you look back at Rashi now, Rashi says, V'idach Shari B'shtia, right? So he says, V'leitel chatakavate. Now we'll read the second line in Rashi, D'hamoke Rav Yirmiyar Milti, D'Rav Papa Kitanai. Because he holds like Machloket Tanaim, and Rav Papa holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Di Yechida'a, Di Yechiv Rabbim, Halacha Kerabim. So therefore, he says, we don't pass him like Rav Papa, because the Gemara pointed out that it's Machloket Tanaim, and only he sides only with Rabbi Yehuda. He doesn't agree with Tanna Kamma, doesn't agree with him. Tanna Kamma is the main opinion, the Rabbim, and therefore, we don't pass him this way. But he does say, okay, stop here for today.